everybody. Daniel Gregory. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Perceptive Photographer. I was asked this past week about what are kind of five key mistakes most photographers make or a lot of photographers make, which I thought was interesting because I don't think there's actually kind of five key mistakes that most photographers make or that a lot of photographers make. I think we're each beholden to our own set of issues and problems that come up. But when I was pushed a little further, like if I had to kind of create those different buckets, what would they actually be? What would those kind of groups actually be if I was going to kind of provide that level of direction? As the conversation kind of continued, I did kind of come up with that what I think are five areas, at least in my own life, that were really significant shifts in how I was able to approach my photography and how I was able to achieve what I wanted in my photography by kind of getting over a hurdle of a couple of things. The first thing is learning styles. Everybody learns differently. And I think this is one of the challenges with our education system. It's one of the challenges we have as adults in how we learn. You know, some of us learn by seeing. We see something and we can actually repeat it. We can actually do that. Some of us learn by just listening. We can actually sit down and listen to somebody talk or listen to somebody explain something. We can then really process the information. A lot of us are kinesthetic learners. We actually learn by doing. We actually have to have the hands-on experience that we're actually able to achieve something and accomplish something in terms of like long-term memory and knowledge. And I think one of the most important things you can do is learn your learning style. So if you're a person who learns by listening, finding training, finding education, finding ways of learning that focuses on that auditory process. If you learn by seeing, you need to have videos in front of you or people in front of you where you can actually watch. And if you're kinesthetic, you need to actually physically do the work. And so if you're watching a training video or you're watching somebody do something in a class, to actually have your camera with you or to have your laptop and follow along, whatever that process is, but to actually physically do the task is really important to making sure that you understand it. For me, you know, I'm blessed in that I can actually remember a lot of what I see. And so I also, though, have to have a kinesthetic quality to my learning. So once I realized that it wasn't just enough for me to watch somebody do something, I actually had to do the task or do the skill to make sure that I really understood it. That became really critical as a turning point in my own photography because it went from just looking at what was great photographs, looking at what other photographers were doing, and then actually doing the work myself. In the darkroom, it went from just reading about different techniques to actually having to apply those techniques. So while I conceptually understood what certain chemistry would do, or I understood how to do a certain skill in Photoshop, it wasn't until I actually did that did I really feel like it started to solidify in its importance. I think the second thing that's really critical, and you read this a lot on a lot of other people's lists about things photographers need to know, but you need to know your gear. And it's not just your camera. I think you need to know all your gear. If you're developing film, you need to know what your chemistry does. If you're doing digital printing, you need to understand how your monitor gets calibrated, how your profiles work, how the color management system works, but you need to understand how all of that pulls together. Now, you don't need to know it at the level an engineer would who actually has to program that or develop that system or the chemist. But understanding what those things do and why they're important to the process, I think is really critical to being successful in the art and craft we do. I think the reason for that is when we sit down and we start to think about and learn and know what our gear is and how our gear gets applied, it allows us the freedom to actually focus in on the creative aspect of our work. It allows us to focus in on the essence of our work and what we're trying to say through our creative process, rather than continuing to struggle with certain elements, certain processes, and certain techniques. If you think about just on your camera, if you're caught up in the moment shooting and you just instinctively know how to change f-stops and you know how to change shutter speeds, and you don't have to worry about looking down at your camera to see which button does what, that frees up so much creativity in the process. If you're actually printing and you're working on images and you know how to do color corrections, you know which sliders actually do what, whether you're in Camera Raw or Photoshop. Those things make a huge difference. So I think knowing your gear is another key element. And I know for me, when it went from just, I have the camera and I kind of know what I'm doing, to really knowing what was it that I was attempting to achieve with the camera and how to process that was a huge change for me. I think one of the other big changes and one of the other big key things is knowing the diversity of photography. And so many types of photographers out there that looking at all of that landscape all the time and trying to absorb as much of that photography as possible, I think is critical because there's a subtle influence that happens with us every time we look at a photograph. We're subtly shifted and changed by that experience, whether we like it or don't like it. the culmination of all of that experience eventually delves into the work we create, the diversity of who we are as people. I think it's really important that we get exposed to as many types of ideas and thoughts and cultures and races and genders as possible so that we get a full comprehensive experience of what we're attempting to do with our messaging and with our creativity. If we limit ourselves to just one particular slice of the pie, we sometimes miss out on the whole thing. So I think it's really important that you embrace that diversity. And even if you're not into a certain type of photography, you know, if you're not into landscape photography, it's worth spending some time in the world of looking at landscape photography because it can help you understand maybe what it is about landscape photography that you didn't like, but could also expose you to parts of landscape photography that became interesting to you or understanding why people might participate in that as their default medium. Portraiture is the same way. If you're a landscape person and you're not into portrait photography or wedding photography or fashion photography, looking at those images and what resonates with them, what works, how did they create their light? All of those different things I think are important to the diversity of understanding your own creative principle behind the camera. Tied pretty closely to diversity, I think, is my fourth point, which is the history of photography. And we've talked about this over and over in the podcast. We stand on the shoulders of those who came before us from a technology standpoint, from an understanding of principles of framing and composition and art history. So I think it's important to really understand the history of photography. And again, just like with diversity, we have to expand that net out. So if you focus in and you study, like I said, certain types of portraiture, I think it's important to expand that net out. So if you're studying certain types of portraiture, what does portraiture look like if you go back in the history and look at some of those early African American studios, which were really at the, you know, the turn of the 20th century, those were some of the biggest and most prolific portrait studios in the country and in the world. If you go back and look at portraiture in the 1920s, how did that move from modernism out of pictorialism work? How did all those different elements come into play? And understanding what caused those changes, I think, is insightful in understanding why we create the photographs we create today. Because in many ways, they're responses to things in the past and their desires for things we have in the future. So understanding that history is important. Well, like I said, you overlay that with the diversity and you can get exposed to a lot of things you potentially didn't even know about photography or understand about how photography has evolved and shifted over the time. One of the things that I think is critical with that history as well is understanding that there's a rich history going back for, you know, close to 200 years now in photography. And so each one of those decades is a really rich environment. So there's an opportunity there to go in and just focus on a particular decade. Like look at the photography of the 1960s, you know, with the emergence of color. That was a huge shift in how we perceived the world around us and looked at photography. So how did color inform us as photographers in our history? How did the development of roll film change things? You know, the introduction of the Brownie camera in the early 1900s caused a significant shift for anybody could have a camera. And you think about the power that that had in the shift in the way we work. You know, you think about the proliferation of cell phones. Well, that happened in the 1900s with the introduction of roll film through Kodak. So there's a massive understanding and awareness of things from the past that I think are insightful for the future moving forward. And then finally, I think this is probably a mistake that photographers make. I think the other ones are just things we don't necessarily focus on or think about or things we're going to get to. They're not really actual true mistakes. But I do think one of the mistakes that we have as photographers, and I think it comes with experience and it comes with developing who we are as creative individuals, but we don't follow our own voice. I think it's really hard to put yourself out there as an artist. I think it's really hard to actually embrace who you are and the message you have to say and the message you want to tell other people. It's really difficult to reach out and say, this is who I am, expose yourself, put yourself out there for judgment, ridicule, praise, conflict, whatever results in how your work and art is perceived, but you've got to put yourself into your own element. And I think a lot of us, myself in particular, in the past, and even to this day, it's something I struggle with, we played a little safe. We think, well, you know, there is something I do want to say, whether it's around the environment or how people are treated or a specific area in our city that we want to focus on, whatever it is. If you want to tell the story of abuse in relationships, how would you go about doing that? And we back off of that. We don't follow our voice. We don't follow ourselves down our own rabbit hole. And I think that's probably the biggest mistake we make. Because it's in our storytelling is where our real power comes through as creative individuals and as creative artists. And the willingness to step off that ledge and to be who you really are in your work, I think takes a fortitude, a strength, and a trust that who you are is such a strong person, and who you are is such a valuable person, and what you have to say is so important, and that that message is really important, and it's not caught up in hype, and it's not caught up in hysteria, but it's thoughtful, it's personal, it resonates within you, and you have to go out and do that. And I think a lot of times how that manifests itself is we find artists who we are inspired by, and we imitate them for however long. And so we create images that look like Avedon. We create images that look like Carrie Mae Weems. We create images that look like, you know, Sally Mann, out of a respect for them and the work they do and the type of creative process they go through. And at some point that has to tip into how they're now an influence, but we have something else to say. So, you know, maybe from Carrie and her work on race and gender and identity, maybe it's your own story around that theme, and that the inspiration is not what the photographs look like, but what the message was. I think that's really the key, is focusing in on who you are and following that voice. And it's not easy to do, and it's hard to do, and there's a risk there, but that's the great thing. Great art always had risk applied to it. And I don't mean famous art, not art that hangs in museums had any risk to it, not art that is popular in pop culture or appears in Art in America magazine. But real art has a risk because it requires us to put our own voice in there, to put who we are and who our meaning is in there. And I think that's really the quintessential piece of being a great artist. So what I would hope that you would do is find a way to make sure that in all the work you're creating, you're pushing that envelope a little bit, taking those small baby steps into developing that and getting that message out. So at the end of the conversation, you know, I came up with those five things: learn style, not knowing your gear, understanding diversity in photography, history in photography, and finally following your own voice. So I hope I've given you some things maybe you can think about this week, maybe some things you could start to apply into your own creative process, or at least think about for your own creative process. And I will say it was an interesting exercise to try to come up with those five things. So even if all you did this week was sit down and think about, what do you think out of your own creative life, out of your own experiences thus far, what are the five things you would tell somebody if they were just getting started to focus on and think about? Hope you have a great week behind the camera. You can always find us up on the web at www.theperceptivephotographer.com, or you can find us on iTunes and subscribe to the podcast there. And I hope you have a great week, and I will see you next time.